And what happened after the 2020 election is suddenly top of mind again today here in Arizona. Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, and several other members of former President Trump's inner circle have been indicted for trying to overturn the results of Arizona's presidential election. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays, a Democrat, made the announcement yesterday.
Arizona's election was free and fair. The people of Arizona elected President Biden. Unwilling to accept this fact, the defendants charged by the state grand jury allegedly schemed to prevent the lawful transfer of the presidency.
The indictment includes 11 other state Republicans who are accused of signing false documents to transfer the state's electoral votes to Trump instead of Biden. Arizona is now the fourth state to bring charges against these so-called fake electors, and the news came on the same day as a consequential vote to repeal a Civil War-era abortion ban in Arizona. Jeremy Duda is a longtime political reporter in the state. He writes for Axios in Phoenix. Hey, Jeremy. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And wow, what a week in state politics. Two banner headlines today on the front page of the Arizona Republic. The first one says, fake electors in Arizona indicted in huge print. What do we need to know?
Well, this is an investigation that began last year after our then new Attorney General, Democrat Chris Mays, took office. It began with the 11 Republicans who cast false electoral votes for Trump here in after the 2020 election, as Trump electors did in a number of other states. Joe Biden won the state by a little over 10,000 votes. He was the first Democrat since 1996 to win Arizona in a presidential election, and there were no outstanding legal challenges by the Trump campaign left in Arizona, to my knowledge. They cast their electoral votes as part of, according to the indictment, as part of this plot to overturn the results and install Trump for another term.
Before the indictment yesterday, several of these high-profile state Republicans, there are state lawmakers in the mix, people who had run the party or were running the party at the time, they had defended their choice to falsely submit the state's electoral votes for Trump. But what's been the response now that they've been charged with a crime?
I mean, the responses have been pretty predictable, I think, along the same lines we've seen in other states where this happened. You know, they did nothing wrong. This was legal. This was a contingency plan in case the legal challenges changed the results of the election. As I mentioned, I don't believe there are any outstanding challenges, at least not from the Trump campaign in Arizona at the time. But, you know, on the other side, Democrats and Republican and, you know, a smaller number of Republicans who are, you know, opposed to Trump or opposed to the fake electors, you know, cheered the decision. It's been something that has been kind of a long time coming to some folks. You know, Chris Mays, in the video she put out when the indictments were announced, said, yeah, I know this hasn't gone fast enough for some people, but kind of defended the amount of time it took. In Arizona, we had a Republican attorney general through the end of 2022. Mm-hmm. So this started, you know, just a few months after Attorney General Mays took office.
Trump is not named in these charging documents, but clearly described as an unindicted co-conspirator. Is there any indication that the attorney general might bring charges against him in Arizona the way that, for example, Georgia did in a similar case?
Not that I've seen. I would expect that this is kind of what you see is what you get here with the 11 fake electors and the seven others whose names have not been, you know, officially revealed, but everyone kind of figured it out pretty quickly, especially since a lot of them have faced charges in other states. There's five unindicted co-conspirators. One's obviously Trump. We have the seven others whose names have not been revealed. Some of them stand out pretty obviously. The mayor, Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, Trump's chief of staff.
Okay. Now, the other major development in Arizona yesterday was at the state capitol when three Republicans joined Democrats in the House to repeal this 1864 ban on nearly all abortions in the state. This was the third time that Democrats tried to repeal the law. It worked this time, and it was a very emotional day on the House floor. How much of a political earthquake was this vote in Arizona?
That's a pretty big one. You know, in both chambers of the legislature, the Republicans only have a one-vote majority. And so in both chambers, Democrats needed at least two Republicans to come along with them. And the big stumbling block had been that the House Speaker, Ben Thoma, was very opposed, adamantly opposed to repealing the ban or to allowing a vote on this. Yesterday, we did see, finally, after a couple of weeks of arm-twisting, supporters of the repeal were able to get a second Republican, Representative Tim Dunn from Yuma, to go along with Representative Matt Gress, the first Republican who'd been very vocal on this. And we saw a third Republican representative, Justin Wilmoth, vote to repeal the ban as well.
That choice came with some consequences for at least one of those Republicans you mentioned. Matt Gress lost his committee assignment, you know, right after this vote. So lots of pressure on Republicans as this heads to the Senate now. Do you think there's enough support to get this repealed to the governor's desk?
It's pretty clear there's enough support now. The big question mark was the House. You know, this could have gone on for weeks. We weren't quite sure. Now it looks like we will probably see a resolution to this next week.
As this issue does, both sides very energized here after this vote. Do you think a successful effort to repeal the 1864 ban could affect the outcome of this ballot initiative in November that would enshrine the right to an abortion in the state's constitution?
It is possible. I mean, Representative Dunn put out a statement basically saying that is why he voted to repeal the ban, that he wanted to try and head off the ballot measure that he views as much more extreme. There's still a lot of campaigning, a lot of hand-wringing and arguing left to go.
Jeremy Duda follows state politics for Axios in Phoenix. Thank you.
No, thanks for having me.